God is good, amen.
All the time.
Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, Lord, you are holy God. Kadosh and completely separated from darkness and evil, but yet your eyes and your heart is attentive to your people who don't always walk in your ways, Lord. And I thank you for that, Father. I pray, Lord, that the words that I speak would be your words and what you would want to convey for your people in the sanctuary and also online, Lord, that they would hear it and they receive it, Lord, that you would make their hearts good ground, that you will plant the word deeply into their soul and it will bring fruit, Lord. May the name of the God of Israel, Yeshua the Messiah, become greater. May the name of Eduardo become lesser. In the name of Messiah Yeshua, amen. So, many times when we approach the word of God, we see it as a unified whole, and that's a good thing. We say God's word is together a whole unit, and we must receive it and appreciate it as that. But many times in the Messianic movement, and the church is no different, we have canons within canons, places where we focus on certain passages and certain groups of books or quote testaments. And many times in the Messianic movement, though we claim to be Messianic, sometimes we focus more on the Jewish side. You take Stern's translation, nothing specifically against it, but if you look at the way he lays out the parshas, there is a disproportionate amount of Brit Hadashah, New Covenant readings, compared to the Torah. And I think that our primary identity, we need to find ourselves in the word of Yeshua. And I think if we look at the words of Yeshua, it brings greater clarity to the rest of the text. That we need to establish what the hierarchy is. That when God spoke from Mount Sinai, it's no different than when Yeshua speaks before his disciples. Yeshua says in John 8:58, he says that Abraham rejoiced to see his day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Yeshua, as he's concealed himself on the road to Emmaus, he's walking with his disciples. Some of the ones who couldn't even recognize him in the flesh at that moment. In Luke 5, no, a little bit later, different verse, sorry. And as he's walking with them, they look at him and he says, you know, what's going on? And they say, oh, have you been under a rock for so long? You don't know what things have been going on around here? And then beginning with the beginning of the word of God, he explained how all of the Torah points to himself. So reality is that if we have the Hebrew Bible cannot stand on its own. It is something that is missing its culmination. It's missing its climax. It's missing Yeshua the Messiah, the goal for which it was written. And that's in Luke 24:27. That when we look at the Torah, when we look at the prophets, they really can't stand on their own because they have a culmination in Yeshua. So let's spend some time at the feet of Yeshua. Amen? From Luke 5:17, one day he, Yeshua, was teaching. And there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law of the Torah sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. So here goes the issue. If Yeshua is fully God, why did the power of the Lord need to be present for him to do healing? The reason why the power of the Lord needed to be there was because he was fully God and fully man. That at a moment, Yeshua emptied himself when he took on flesh. Not of godness, but of his ability to just move in that. That they become somehow submission of the Son of God to the Father, to his humanity. And that he required a reliance on the Father to fill him with the power to do what he needed to do. And this is a mystery in the text. And that could be a message in and of itself of our necessity to rely on God as we walk in our flesh. So that we too can have the power of the Lord present for us to do the things that he called us to do. Amen. May we too be emptied in our humanity so that we can put on the power that comes by the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. Amen. And as Yeshua is doing what Yeshua does, which is healing the people, some men carried another man who was paralyzed. And if you read the ancient Christian Hebraist, well, not really ancient, but from the Middle Ages, John Gill, other guys like that, they say that this guy was completely immobile, except for being able to speak. Just adds intensity to the story. So his friends tried to bring this person who couldn't walk to Yeshua. Oh, how I wish I had friends like that. I do believe I have friends like that. Amen. If you don't have friends like that, get them. That I would have someone that when I'm so broken and so fractured, that they, all of them, would lift me and try to take me to Yeshua. May I be a friend like that? But they couldn't find any way to get to Yeshua. So what did they do? They went up on top of the roof. And they dropped him in the middle of the crowd right in front of Yeshua. Some of us won't pick up a phone to call someone. But these brothers right here climbed on top of a building and messed up someone else's house, put a hole in it, and dropped that broken person inside. And I could imagine the man thinking to himself, I spent so many years broken, so many years incapable of walking, and here I am in front of this miracle worker. And I'm going to get what I got to get, because the story is that people come to this Jesus and they get healed. And me too, I'm going to get healed. This is my moment. And when he stands before Yeshua, the creator of the universe, the God who knows all, Yeshua tells him, friend, your sins are forgiven. Don't you think this brother might have had some disappointment? Because he didn't come there to get his sins forgiven. He came there to walk. I could imagine the man saying, whoa, that's cool, man. What you gonna do about my legs? Some super holy people might say the man wanted to be forgiven. The reality is, the context doesn't tell us at all that the man was focused on that. It says earlier that Yeshua went about his normal practice, which was healing people. What's the point? The point is that the man came with a need and a desire that he thought was the ultimate thing that he needed to be complete and whole. But Yeshua cut through that man, saw his heart, and touched him where he really needed it. The man needed to have his sins forgiven. And all his friends must have been like, dude, we didn't bring you here to get your sins forgiven. We brought you here to get whole, to get complete, to get healed, not knowing that the wholeness and the completeness doesn't just happen with what occurs physically. Yeshua is pointing to something deeper. And Yeshua, in his context, all the Pharisees and those around him said, this is blasphemy. This person, Yeshua, can't do this. He can't just forgive sins like that. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Yeshua takes this moment to bring glory to his name. See, we have many times where people say, look, Yeshua never declared to be God. Here, Yeshua proclaims himself to be God. Yeshua was aware of their reasonings. Why are you reasoning this in your heart? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, get up and walk? Then he goes on to say, so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he says to the man, I say to you, get up, pick up your stretcher, and go home. So the man gets up, he walks, and as the man is walking away, he begins to glorify God because of what had just occurred. And then all of the people were struck with astonishment, began glorifying God, and they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen remarkable things today. As I've gone through my life, I've had many struggles and heartaches and brokenness at different times, and many wants and needs and desires. But as I stand before you, I realize that the number one thing I need is to find forgiveness in the Son of God who gave himself for humanity. See, we think that someone's a paraplegic, diabetic, high blood pressure, heart disease, Lyme disease, cancer, poor, married, single, deaf, blind, that because we have these things that affect us, that this is the reason why we can't be used by God, or we can't be made whole or complete. We think that because we're broken in the flesh, that we're broken in the heart, that we can't be used, and that this is the main thing that keeps us from walking in what God would have us do. When the reality is, what separates us from God is sin, and God is looking to heal the person primarily in sin, to restore the broken relationship between man and humanity. The real brokenness in me, the real brokenness in all of us and all of humanity is from Romans 3:20, all have sinned and fall short of glory of God. From Mark 7, out of the heart of men proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. I wonder if this thing that is going on with the world, coronavirus, is something that is just distracting humanity from what is really the sickness of the world. I saw a meme that said, 1, 2, 3, whatever the percentage is, amount of people are dying from coronavirus, but 100% of people who die without Yeshua go to hell. What is our perspective? Do we come to Yeshua just to receive from his hand the things that we think are the most important? Or do we come to him to receive what he feels is the most important? What he puts as number one. See, God is absolutely concerned in healing your natural infirmities, your natural sicknesses. There's no doubt about that. The book of James says that, is any of you sick? Then he must call for the elders of the kehillah, the community, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And then that prayer offering of faith will restore the one who is sick. But one thing that we miss in the text when we have canons within canons is that God is not only concerned with your body. God is primarily concerned with your soul. Isaiah 53, when we get to verse 5, the price that Yeshua paid for us wasn't just so that we can be healthy and looking young and no wrinkles and everybody beautiful. Yeshua came to take our transgressions. That's why he was pierced through, from Isaiah. And then he was also crushed for our iniquities. That there is some kind of wholeness that happens to man that just doesn't happen when you're good in your flesh or in your body. Jeremiah 17:14 says, heal me, O Lord, and I will be healed. Save me, and I will be saved, for you are my praise. There is something about the pairing of the brokenness of the flesh and of the body that needs to be paired with the brokenness of man's condition that we have fallen to sin. Why does death not come into the world until sin comes into the world? Why is it that we must receive a new glorified body? It is because the body that we have are tainted by sin. But God does not want us to be preoccupied with the brokenness in our bodies. God wants us to look at him. And to look at who he is and look beyond these things. Because what if the very affliction you go through, God allows to bring you to your knees before him? See, this man who was there being dragged along on that mat, he thought he was going to get the ability to walk. But the reality in the man, the problem in the man was that the man was a sinner. And it's no different than how Yeshua wants to deal with all of us today. As we come to him, oh, I can't go here, I can't go there, I can't do this, there's so much going on. I have family who's sick, I have that. God is primarily concerned with the heart condition of humanity that we are far from him. See, we must have that born-again experience. And if that sounds Christianese, that's too bad, because that is biblical, that we must be born again. Remember, the born-again experience doesn't happen automatically with your body being restored. It happens with your heart being made anew. And this is what we should all strive to. You know, when I, at the time when I wrote this message, I didn't walk for 6 weeks. And as of today, it would have been 9.5 weeks since I didn't walk. I've been walking for a week now. I started a couple days early. I never knew that I was so impatient. I never knew I found so much value in just being able to go in a car and drive. I never knew I would be so disappointed in God because of the situation he allowed me to go through. When you're in those darkest moments of sin and temptation and darkness or anything that you're going through, it will show you who you really are. There was a lot of things that happened in the hospital. I developed a hematoma. I had two surgeries. I was going to have three. I didn't walk for over 2 months. I never realized that I can be so upset with my present condition. So upset with the fact that I have to go through pain and get this happen to me, get poked and prodded here, and then have to go back in, and then just so much stuff on top of me pushing me down. But then I had to realize, and I'll give you the title of the message. The title of the message is Kum Up. It's not about the walking. Because God allowing me to go through that situation was not just to get me to walk. God's allowance of me to go through that was so that I can realize the shortcomings that I have and the necessity for me to rely on him solely. So my question is this. Whether the coronavirus is directly given by God or not, God in his sovereignty has allowed it. What is the purpose for his allowance? And it's not just about the current pandemic. It's about all of humanity. When you face any kind of ailment or weakness or brokenness, be it physical, emotional, what is it inside of that situation that God is trying to illuminate? What is it in this pandemic that God is trying to show the body of Messiah? There are people part of this community that don't want to be a part of this community because of the results of what occurred with coronavirus. The outcomings and the planes of it. See, when we are pushed and prodded and poked and we have weight on us and the fire and it's hot and it's churned up, that will show you who you are. When you can't walk for 9 weeks, it will show you what a baby you are. I'd stab somebody to go drive my car. I'm telling you, in the middle of it, I would have. Because the reality is that you take for granted the simple things that you have. But you know what? There's a man somewhere who can't use his hands or his feet when I couldn't walk, who would give anything to be in my condition. So is the body of Messiah not in a place where we are full of thankfulness? Instead of seeking to have the condition of our hearts and our conditions of our position to God dealt with, we spend more time praying for just physical things. And while there's a place for praying for the physical and praying for the material, where are we with the Lord? In these hard times, in these struggles, in these battles, in the current condition that we're in, we don't know when the end time will come. And there's so many people telling me, oh, this is difficult. This is the beginning of the tribulation. This is all this and that. Listen, if it was the beginning of the tribulation, we have a lot less people promoting Messiah. This is nothing compared to the tribulation that is awaiting the whole entire world. And yet people are falling apart and losing their mind. I didn't walk for 9 weeks. I could have lost my mind off of that. That showed a spiritual character flaw inside of myself that I was so impatient. At that moment, that God had to give me a sense of patience and acceptance for what he allows. And I didn't bow to the sovereignty of God at those moments. See, I wonder if we say, look, you know, Corona's bad, but you know, as long as I can get my toilet paper and stuff, I'm good. But what if you can't get your toilet paper? What if you got to go to the leaves? What if you can't? What if the plumbing stops? What if there's no electricity? What if there's no internet? What if you can't stream Bethel, Gibor, and all the other 1,000 congregations in the Lehigh Valley? What if you're stuck with just you and your family worshiping the Lord in the dungeon, in the bottom of your basement? Will you glorify the God of Israel, Yeshua the Messiah? Or will you say, you know what? I can't do this. I can't hear Rabbi Mark's messages, so I'm done. Where is our hearts located? In position to the Lord? Are we positioning ourselves to the God of Israel? We're willing to do what he calls us to do. Because worse times will come. What happens if there are food shortages? What happens if the grocery stores do close down? You're going to start pillaging your neighbor? How we behave in these conditions and in these trials and in the pressure of what's going on will tell us who we are. And it's no different than what happened to the children of Israel in Egypt. Rabbi Mark said it earlier, and I'll say it again. You can put the blood on the doorposts of your house and be on your way to the promised land and still die in the desert. How many in the body of Messiah will apply the blood to the door frames of their houses but will die in the desert and never make it to the promised land? Is it any different than those that teach, as long as you say, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and Savior, I welcome you to my heart, and then we think we get a punch card in order to enter into eternity with him, because by saying that, we're completely pleasing to him. The reality is that there was a group of people that got redeemed by the hand of God, yet never made it to the finish line. See, my prayer, my hope is that I won't be one of those people. Because just because I give a message, or just because I preach, or just because I might have encouraged somebody, or just because I might have had a moment of closeness with the Lord, it's not just a day or a Shabbat or a few Shabbats or a few years of doing right. We need to walk this thing out from beginning to end. And come hell or high water, we need to be focused on Messiah and be emulating his character as the power of the Spirit empowers us to. Does that make sense to us? Because just this little taste of struggle, this little taste of trial because of this coronavirus shows us that we're like paper in the rain. We're falling apart. We have no strength. We have no depth of commitment to the community and to the people that God called us to. Many times I said, trust in God's Spirit. Trust in his power. God can help you through whatever you go through. And I almost lost my mind because I got a catheter. All right? This is the reality, right? That oh, woe is me, Lord. All right? As soon as I was going to get a catheter, right? And that's literally nothing compared to the trials that those who have gone before us who have been martyred for Messiah. I was mad because they had to poke me 4 times for IV. My point is this, is that at that moment when I was struggling, right, that hard time is not the time where we can just say, I'm good. See, races aren't won when you get to the end of the line. Races are won in days like this when we're praying and seeking him and in his word, right? It's not God who is too weak or incapable of delivering us through trials and tribulations. It is us who say, you know what, God? I need to get out of this. I need to deal with it. I need to get out of this place and this position that I'm in. So I wonder, for everybody listening at home, every person in the sanctuary, we all have our trials and our limitations that are physical and ailments and sicknesses. But is that the primary thing that we use in our communion with God? Perhaps your inability to walk, your inability to deal with your sickness, or anything that you have going on, the fact that you have nonstop headaches, or whatever it is something that God is trying to use to show that you have a defect inside of your heart, which is sin. And perhaps if we sought the face of God instead of his hand more, we'd be more effective in witnessing him to the world. God doesn't promise in this life that every single one of your ailments will go away. The only thing he promises is that he can cleanse you from sin. It's not that he can't heal. It's just that there's no promise that he would heal every single person. So are we mature enough believers to say, if God heals me, amen. If God doesn't heal me, amen as well. From Psalm 46, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change. And though the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. All of these things that talk about these end time calamities and this craziness that is going to happen to the world. And a lot of believers are walking away from Messiah just because of the pandemic of the coronavirus. And it's not that it's a real challenge, because it is. It's not that it doesn't affect us in our everyday. But the psalmist says, even if the mountains slip into the sea, we're talking about a whole mountain falling into the ocean. He says, even that happens, I will trust my God. Job said, even if God kills me, I will hope and praise in him. Because we need to trust in the sovereignty and the justness of God. That because of what God has done in history, we can trust him to be good all of the time. The reality is that his goodness doesn't dictate that he's going to do what we perceive to be good. Because he's beyond time. See, we can't, even us in the sanctuary, we can't see beyond this wall. We don't know if somebody's breaking into our car, slashing our tires, taking our toilet paper out of our car. I know you all have some in your trunk. We can't see past this building yet. Yet sometimes we want to tell God how he should run the universe. We're talking about a God who exists outside of time, who knows the difference from the beginning and the end, who created everything, ex nihilo, out of nothing. And yet humanity wants to look up at God and tell him how he should deal with the universe he created. We'd be more successful in this walk in Messiah if we accepted what God decrees and allows. And trusting that he is just and that he is good. Amen. So my point for every person, where is our trust and where is our hope? Do we truly rely on the God of Israel to explain everything to us? Do we rely on making sense of this world based upon who he is? If God chooses not to heal a person, will you curse him? See, the real challenge is for all of us who have children. Job, God took away Job's children. He allowed the enemy to destroy Job's family. And we can try to reason with our minds that that's wrong. God shouldn't have allowed that, this, that, there. But at the end of the day, that's what occurred. God allowed the enemy to take Job's family for a purpose, for the glorification of his name. And Job didn't curse God. Even his wife turned her back on him and said, why don't you curse God and die already? But he said, I will always hope in him. Is that the condition of the body of Messiah today? Because Job had no idea that he would get his children, his finances, and everything back. There was no guarantee for that. But he trusted him until the end. Are we the same? As we're going through this pandemic, do we trust God? If he takes your grandmother, will you trust him? If he takes your wife, will you trust him? If he takes your children, will you trust him and say, I will not curse God? I will hope in him to the end of my days because he is good and just, despite what I may see. And this is the condition of the body of Messiah. The condition of the body of Messiah is very fractured because people can't come into a building. They're losing their mind and they're breaking away from communities because they can't come into a building. What would you do if you can't walk? What would you do if you were blind? And that's why this pandemic with people's sickness illuminates something that's missing inside of the person if they are not right with the Lord. This person who got carried in, his mind was focused on walking. But Yeshua looked at him and wasn't even concerned about his walking. It wasn't his walking that needed to be dealt with. Primarily, what had to be dealt with was the sin of the person. From Isaiah 59, it says, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor is the ear so dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Could it be that the man was so bogged down with sin that Yeshua couldn't even bring healing to his life? Look, God can do all things, right? But the Lord has principles by which he establishes things. And it says in the book of Isaiah, he says, sin separates people from me. The Lord can zap anybody with anything he wants, right? There's nothing that he's bound by. But if he establishes a principle that sin separates you from me, then he can't even bring healing to the man because of the sin of his heart. That God first had to deal with the sin of him before he can make him whole. And if we are truly a Messiah, then his face is not hidden. Amen. Colossians 1:4. If you have been raised with Messiah, keep seeking the things above where Messiah is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Messiah and God. When Messiah, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Does it say that keep seeking the things above? Unless you can't walk, or unless you're deaf, or unless you're blind, unless you have a disease, unless you're hurt by your leg, unless you have coronavirus happening. It literally has no bearings on your condition, physical, emotional, financial. That if you claim to be in him, we have to have our mind set where Messiah is. And if the body of Messiah will get it together and be focused on Messiah number one, we'd be much more effective in being a cohesive unit and witnessing the goodness of his love and see more lives come into the kingdom of God. This is what God has shown me, that maybe if I wasn't such a baby while my surgery was going on, maybe I could have been more of an effective witness for Messiah in the hospital to the people. Did I miss opportunities? Maybe. But God used it to show me a spiritual defect within myself. And I believe that God wants to use all sicknesses to show us where we really are, because in our weakness, he's made strong. Amen. Let's pray. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, King, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would direct our hearts, Lord, to what is the most important thing, Lord, which is you, your supremacy, Lord. And in spite of our conditions, Lord, though the things you allow may seem dark, you are constantly good, Lord. May you be focused on you, Lord, and your return, Lord, and may you strengthen the entire body of Messiah in the name of Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Amen.